First of all, thanks for coming out, and give a huge applause for Hits putting this together. I think it's a packed room. I mean, it's really amazing. The thing I like about Hits is it's the top technologists from all the studios that are really sitting in one room and give great feedback to the other folks that you're talking with. So again, thanks for being here. All right, let's see if I can figure this technology out. So I'm Steve Wong, I guess you can see. Who's heard of DXC Technologies in the room? Besides Guy, okay, two people. DXC Technologies is formerly known as Hewlett-Packard Enterprise Services. We merged with a company called CSC back in April and did one of the largest $24 billion startup companies. So we've been around for a long time when you track us back through HP. So that's who I'm with. Enough of the commercials. Okay, so the goal today is really to start a conversation about blockchain in the media and entertainment group. You know, our company deals with financial institutions, the Fortune 100 companies. So with our team, I started discussing blockchain because a number of our groups are talking to it with our financial clients. And when I started getting into the conversations with some of the other CTOs, I saw a really interesting application for the media entertainment industry. Because what are we in Hollywood other than basically a business of transactions? So I thought it was really an interesting fit. So that's why we're here, to start the conversation. Who knows about blockchain in the room? That's impressive. But of course, we have a room of really smart folks. So usually when I ask that question, I get about five folks out of 300 that raise their hand. So I'm honored to be in your presence. Okay. So who has actually done a transaction with Bitcoin, has actually bought something via Bitcoin? Okay, less, but impressive. So this is gonna be the basis of our discussion. I'm just gonna hit some of the high points because I only have 17.7 minutes left. So if you have any questions, you can reach out to me later on. All right, a Bitcoin miner. Anyone in the audience a Bitcoin miner? What's that? Not currently, okay, you get the process. Okay, fewer. So as we go through this, you'll understand why I've asked these questions. I just want to get a consensus of where we are in the audience. A very smart audience, I must say, to begin with. Okay, so what they say, and I say they, is mostly the CTOs of the Fortune 100 companies that I deal with in venture capitalists, that what internet did for information, blockchain is going to do for transactions. And again, when we think of transactions, Hollywood is a lot of transactions through the entire process. And when I say that, I look at production of a movie or a television program as an entire process, from the original creation to the final endpoint of that consumption. And we're going to take a look at that today. So this is an interesting statement from Mark Andreessen, one of our board members. So blockchain is going to be basically allow one internet user to transfer a unique piece of digital property to another, safe and secure. Isn't that what we all want in Hollywood? We want to write a piece of content, we want to sell it, and we want to make sure that no one rips it off and we actually get paid for it. So again, that's why when I started talking about blockchain with our other folks in the financial industry, I thought, wow, what a perfect industry for blockchain, really. All right, so today, we're going to talk really quick, so I only have 15 and 26 seconds left, is about the blockchain, how does blockchain work, evolution of blockchain, the business benefits and considerations that you probably need, and just a quick statement about the DXC point of view. Again, not a big marketing thing, just they made me say that. Okay, so what is blockchain? On a very simple form, we're just going to hit some of the high points today. It's really a ledger transaction involving a peer-to-peer network where you use digital cryptography, basically, to secure this on the high level. So to delve into it a little bit, why did this whole thing develop? You know, in the past, basically, if you were to buy something, you needed some big brother or some organization to say, yes, you can do this transaction. You take your ATM or your credit card, you go and you buy, a handbag. That can't happen unless your bank says yes, you have money in your account, and two, that the handbag seller has some sort of thing to take that. So you had this one central point of trust being your bank saying that's okay. So it came along, where folks didn't necessarily want that. Some organizations want to say, you know, I don't want to rely on this bank. I want to be able to do a transaction, and I want to have a bunch of individuals or computers say, yeah, this is right. Yes, this is the person that's doing the transaction. Yes, they have money, and yes, I think they should do that. So that's the green part there. So it's a distributed point of trust as opposed to one. So how does it work? And again, we're going to breeze over this, but please have reach out to me later. I'm also giving a white paper at SMPTE next week that goes in a little bit more detail. So again, on a simplest form, peer-to-peer networks, we do hashtag functions to secure that. And on the other side, you have keys, private keys and public keys that say, yes, I can do this transaction. I'll get into this a little more deeper. We look at block one. Say I'm a seller of this, right? So basically, I'm going to have a hashtag on my header. Use a Merkle root, and that's going to be the block of that transaction. That next transaction is going to track some of the information from my block as a seller to that next person, that buyer. So again, it'll have the hash of the previous block header, me the seller, a Merkle root, and the transaction. So again, to dive a little bit deeper into that, you take a look at a Merkle tree and what that root is, in essence. So you have a combination of A and B, and you take a look at A, you have the hashes of C and D, which is their child leaves. So that all gets pushed up into that Merkle root. I'm going to give you a specific example about Hollywood, but I just want to touch base on that. And this is an interesting thing. The basis of blockchain, believe it or not, started on May 1453 AD. Now, who knew that in this room? Okay, and here's why. It is an interesting thing. So basically, you have a seller and a buyer, a transaction. And what you need to do is determine, is this true? You know, is this person a real buyer? Is he a real individual? Or are they a hacker and going to try to do something disreputable? And I have a buyer on this side. Do they have the money? So this goes back to this for a reason. On that month, in that year, basically it was an end of an empire. These armies were surrounded. They were going to be slaughtered, in essence, by a bigger army. The problem is, those generals in that area, they had to work together, or they were absolutely get slaughtered. So they had the ability to messenger other generals. What they didn't know is the intention of the other generals. So two generals working together had to either attack or retreat. If they didn't do that at the same time, they would get destroyed. So there was the other part of the information that one general didn't trust the other general. So what does he do? If he didn't know if the other general was going to attack or retreat, then they did nothing. Same thing with blockchain. So again, if I have information of this transaction of a buyer and seller, if we both agree that this is the correct buyer, this person is the correct seller, and they have the IP, awesome, we can do the transaction. If I don't know, the transaction doesn't happen. So again, I know it's a very simplistic explanation, but I think it was a real clear way to explain what's going on here. So again, there's two ways to do this. And as Eric and I were talking, probably Hollywood's going to do something of a centralized authorization here, where something like a Bitcoin was a decentralized. And I'll get into the difference between both of what those are. So where is blockchain right now? So we look at the evolving part of the internet, and it almost started like 50-something years ago. That's the length of time it took to get us to where we are today. We look at the evolution of blockchain. You know, it's almost 7 years to the where it is today. And that's really just an incredibly fast speed of evolution of a piece of technology. And we'll show you where on the emergence of the technology it is. You can see at that point up there where that blockchain sort of pointing, that's where we are right now. So it's really at the peak of what we call an inflated expectation. Now this is interesting. Again, only in a 7-year period. You can look at the other part of this curve, and we can see some technologies that have been around for a lot less, like gaming tokens. They're at the slope of enlightenment. Wouldn't you want to be at the slope of enlightenment? Sounds like a great place to be. There's other technologies that are still at the very beginning of it, like smart assets, that have been around for 10-something years, but it hasn't been adopted yet. So again, where blockchain is, it's really at an interesting point now. And again, that's why I'm here to bring it up to you guys, to start thinking about this, start to think about applications of how you can use it in your business. So business benefits, assurance. this is something that this transaction happens. You can assure that it's real and that it's correct. Most other important thing is amplification. You know, the business process can amplify quickly under a blockchain. IoT devices and IoT transactions, this is really a great way to keep track of it. Serenity, you can sleep well at night knowing that your transaction was done via blockchain. Whoop, what happened? I went away there. Efficiency. Basically, optimize time to value. The way, if implemented correctly, blockchain is a very efficient process. And this is really the interesting part for me, the intelligence. Because if I can track a transaction all the way through and it's live, you know, I can know immediately when a viewer watched my content, say. And if I produce that film and I got a percentage of the back end, I would know exactly if I got paid, or if I wrote a song, you know, I would know exactly when I got paid instantly, as opposed to waiting for my quarterly report, which is definitely different than nowadays. So again, I call this the Hollywood hustle to give you sort of an idea. For fun, I like to write feature film scripts on my spare time. So again, if I came up with a great idea and I wrote a script, say I go to the copyright office, I register my script, I get my copyright ID number, I see that as the first step of this blockchain. So that would be my first block here. So say I send that to my agent to represent me. Say I put it in Adobe. I'm not saying that this is the blockchain format, but say I put it in Adobe. It can tell my PC, my Mac address, the time I sent it to my agent, and when my agent received it. So at that time, my agent's going to send it out, see if he can get a producer or studio to pick it up, and that would be the second part of it. All through this are parts of this block, and we push forward, and again, we finally produce it. So there's bits of information on this, and I'll delve into this a little bit deeper later. But imagine if you have identified this IP, your script, this movie. Now I'm shooting it. That raw camera file coming off that fire, off that camera, has this ID in it. Anytime that gets transferred, my DIT takes it. It takes that IP address, or not, the takes the MAC address of that server, and I send it to my editing. The editor receives it, opens it up. That whole process, all the way through distribution, the time that someone watches that, you know, either on a television, you know, with ATSC 3.0, we should be able to know this, or then say on Netflix. So everyone along with that process would have access to this information. Yes, this was watched, here's who watched it, and all the other metadata aligned to it. Again, we were talking, I think Ralph was talking about, you know, watching a television program and wanted to say, oh, look at that, soccer player is wearing Adidas. So this information would allow me to tag that on my production, that guy was wearing Adidas, because that's what my wardrobe department said. I would have an ability to immediately have access to the information so folks like Ralph can say, oh, I'm going to put an Adidas commercial in here. Again, you can only know that now is if someone watches it and physically types it. Using this blockchain, this would be a method of getting all this information. So this is a little bit deeper. Now, when you talk about blockchain, some folks just say it's one block, but I really view it as more of that. If you really take a look at this, it's a combination. And you know, some of the studios I've talked to, and I would say, oh, I'm going to beat on you, Eric, because you came up with a lot of great ideas. The way we look at it in Hollywood is really the big six. They have to embrace blockchain for the benefit. Because when we take a look at this, the big six would have a private blockchain. They would determine if someone wrote, you know, it was authentic in writing this script, and it's a movie that should be distributed. So they're saying, yes, this is IP that one of the six of us created, and that we're going to go through the process. You look at the other one, the side chain. So say this is going to be audited. So you have all the, you know, the big three, I guess, or big four, auditing all these results, that this is content. Yes, these contracts happened. And you look at the other part of that, you have a governance of this. Because the other part of a blockchain is you have rules, and you have to determine what the rules are, who comes into the system, who comes out of it, and maybe that's the MPAA that does that. The other part, which our cast and crew guys would like, is the side chain. You've got a bunch of folks involved with the production. You know, you have union contracts and everything else. This is a great way to track all of that. And EP, you know, the other folks other than cast and crew, and BMI for music rights, and all those other folks would be part of this side chain as I see this. And you can see through this workflow, we have, you know, everyone in this that basically has, a contract that happened through this process. So this would be a way of keeping track of all this stuff. That is unintentional. Let's see. Blockchain applications. The way to think of blockchain is a bunch of applications. Bitcoin was the first application. I think the other applications are up to the folks in this room. I think this is an opportunity for you. I used to be a technology guy, so I can make this work. Okay, again, think of blockchain as applications. The first one was smart contracts, proof of existence of this particular intellectual property, decentralization of IoT, and different organizations. This is an example, and the black circle there, or the black square rather, not a circle, are applications that you'll develop on how you think this could work. So again, when you think of implementation, there's really two parts of blockchain. As we talked about, permissionless blockchain and permission blockchain. Again, we think the studios will take one tact, and it really depends where you are on this distribution or production path, I believe. So when you think of what's permissioned and permissionless, it's probably best to think of it as production and distribution. On the production side, it's probably going to be permissioned, and think of that as the creation. So, and on the distribution side, think of that as permissionless and more social and things like that. So again, I think it's gonna be a combination for the entire workflow here. So other things to consider, we talked about governance, very important. Who do you allow in? Your rule sets that you create. Data privacy, a big thing, obviously. If this data is in the EU, if it's in Germany, that's one thing. It can't be shared across countries. Canada, same thing. U.S., what the hell, we don't care. Security, again, I like to think like a hacker. So if you're going to make a system like this, how would you hack it? And that's how you have to protect it, because security is a huge problem around the world for all of our clients. Scalability, again, you have to design the system to really think about applications and this thing really exploding. So you have to design a system. I'm not saying any company does this now, but when you're designing a system, you think about how this can scale and absolutely blow up. Again, think of IoT devices and be able to track all of those. Regulation and compliance. On our financial side, this is a huge part, but I think this is also going to come in a number of forms in the media and entertainment space, about compliance and regulations and how you're handling people's privacy and account numbers and things like that, or for your specific boards that may require this. So again, quick commercial, but not really commercial. You notice I took all the marketing slides out, by the way. My marketing guys hate me, but it works. So the way we look at blockchain, you're gonna need three parts. People, software, and hardware. The basis, it doesn't make a difference. I know Jamie would wish it's in a data center, but it could be the data center, like Equinix, or it could be other data centers too, or it could be on Amazon or Azure or any other cloud provider. The other part is you're going to need the people, which are the community, developers, and also the software, smart contracts, interfaces, and all that good stuff. And that comes into the last part of the people is obviously the platform formation and developers of that and the software, the clients, consensus, and all that good stuff. So that 21 seconds left. It's pretty good timing, huh? So if you have any questions, that's my contact at Twitter, hashtag HitsFall2017 and blockchain. So thank you very much.